Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Coming to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. The stream is coming to you live, of course, and delayed. You can always go to the Sports Byline USA, the Sports Byline USA channel on Twitch.tv and check out our shows from the past. We're straight up. We're doing this live and delayed. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, 37, make that 38 plus years now. 38 plus years now of being often imitated but never duplicated. Of course, in this hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, I'll bring in primetime Eddie Crawford, one of boxing's premier trainers. No doubt about that. Pound for pound, he's up there on the list. That's how good this guy is. Anyway, bottom line is we'll get him to break down boxing unlike anybody else. Eddie breaks it down in a manner you can understand it. It's simple, and he's straight to the point. No doubt about that. So primetime Eddie Crawford will come on in about 20, 22 minutes past the hour. Open phone lines all around the planet. This is my opportunity. I give you an opportunity to drop your lines in here. Of course, you want to be part of the show, you can. The toll-free phone lines, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You want to text us here in the studio? You got something to say? Want to get something off your chest? Did I tick you off? I don't care. Let me know. 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Comedian Earthquake, of course, HBO star back in the day, talking about Roy Jones. Roy Bones, of course, had that exhibition with Mike Tyson a few months ago where he showed up with breasts. He should have wore a bra. I couldn't believe he even showed up like that. I mean, whatever he got paid, it was way too much. He deserved to get paid maybe nothing. That's how bad I thought that Roy Jones looked physically. Mentally, maybe Roy's not there. Of course, Roy used to be one of the great TV analysts. There's no doubt about it. I mean, when he did the HBO stuff, he was astute. But, man, a few years have passed since. Speaking of HBO, the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant, not feeling all that well, had a cold this week. You know, he's 9 years old. When you get a cold, you sort of take note of it. I took note of it, no doubt about that. One of the biggest controversies, of course, in 2020 was Joshua Franco and Australia's former world champion, Andrew Maloney. Of course, they're going to settle that score. The third chapter will go down August 14th. The Hard Rock in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I guess Tony Holden's going to promote this. There'll be a co-feature, a 10-round co-feature, a WBO co-feature going on. Junior welterweight contender between Arnold Barboza takes on Antonio Tonomaran. Tony Holden would get a TV series back together. He's talked about that, and we've talked about broadcast partners and that kind of good stuff, but we seem to be close to it. We never close. At one point in time, we were ready to rock. I mean, we're going to take over CBS television on Saturday nights. I kid you not. One card a month, we had a contract. Al Bernstein, myself, the most insecure man I've ever been with in my entire life. Professionally, not professionally, just the most insecure guy I ever met in my life, Al Bernstein. Anyway, Al Bernstein and Mills Lane, the Judge Mills Lane. Let's get it on. Well, he was our broadcast partner. The three of us put together this team and we were Let's Get It On Boxing, and we did about, I guess we did about 20, 25 shows together. Did enough shows to the point where we sent our tapes to CBS, and CBS said, yeah, we like the idea of having Mills Lane part of this, Judge Mills Lane. And the other two guys, well, they're okay too. So we're going to get in the door with Mills Lane, right? We get in the door. So they sent us a contract. The contract was signed, and my agent, I can't remember who the guy's name was. He worked on the waterfront. But he looked at it, he said, it's their contract. I said, what do you mean it's their contract? Anything they want to give you, you just take it. Just take it. They're going to fly you first class. Just take it. Whatever money they're going to give you, just take it. So I said, okay. So we took it and we signed the contract. And then about less than 3 weeks later, like 17 days later to the exact, I mean, I'm counting to myself, CBS TV, I finally made it. I'm going to be CBS television Saturdays. I'm going to be knocking out all bums on TV now. Didn't work out that way. Mills Lane had a stroke. He had a stroke, and that was the end of the series. I kid you not, CBS, we pitched him to it, just me and Al. That wasn't working. They had to have Mills Lane. So Mills Lane, of course, not in the best of health these days, but we wish him the very best, no doubt about that. Tim Zhu was a winner. Of course, he's son of former world champion, 140 pounds, Kasha Zhu. Of course, the guy that destroyed Zab Judah when Zab got crazy and threw the stool at the referee that night, all that kind of good stuff in the 90s. Of course, Zab Judah now and is a trainer of note. He's training a couple of guys I know that are non-boxers per se, like blue-collar type of guys. He's getting white-collar type of guys. He's getting big, big money out of them. They're like YouTube guys. He's training YouTube guys, getting big, big money out of them. So wish him the very best of luck on that. Gene Pascal, former 175-pound champion of the WBA. I think he's been suspended and stripped, of course. I think it's the first or the second time he's – I'm not sure if it's the second, but he tested positive twice for steroids. I mean, the first test popped him. The second test popped him. He's convicted. He's done. They're going to suspend him 6 months. I think the WBA said they were going to suspend him 6 months. You know, listen, this isn't golf. This isn't baseball. This isn't even the NBA, okay? This is combat sports. You're hitting people. You're trying to hurt them. If you get a significant advantage in cardio recovery because you're taking steroids or you're taking HGH or something like that, okay, that's not good. Performance-enhancing drugs, I mean, I used to take performance-enhancing drugs. My mother, she would sneak into the dressing room. I kid you not. She would have it brought into the dressing room. Sometimes she'd put it in a bag. It would be a cup of espresso, like a 4-shot of espresso. And I'd down that baby and start buzzing like I need the buzz before a fight, right? But no, that was my only performance enhancing drug. Nowadays, guys are trying to take anything they can. Of course, remember the days of Shane Mosley. Shane, of course, popped positive for steroids after fighting Oscar De La Hoya the second time. It came out in YouTube film. He testified in a deposition that he took steroids from Victor Conti, then the president of Balco Sports Industries down there in Redwood City, California. Of course, man, he rigged the entire Olympics, the 2000 Olympics to Victor Conti. Marion Jones, remember her? She was like the miler or something like that, the female pirate miler. She had her gold medal taken away. And of course, a lot of guys hung out with Victor Conti and were successful and not so successful. Victor Conti's most famous client had to be Barry Bonds. I mean, when Barry came here, Barry was so skinny. Barry looked like, me and Barry could have been, we were both skinny and we were young. Both skinny were young. Okay. All of a sudden, Barry ends up having like, his hat size grew like two sizes. How the hell does your head grow two sizes? His feet got bigger. But everything got bigger except one thing. There's one thing that didn't get bigger. That was testicular stuff. That didn't get bigger to him. And then some chick testified in court to him. I mean, you know, when you got some girl in court ratting on you saying that you got testicular shrinkage because of the fact you're taking performance anti-drugs, and yet at the same time, you're on the stand denying the fact you ever took steroids? How does that work out and you not get a perjury charge? Huh? Yeah, you're Barry Bonds. Anyway, Victor Conti is still doing his thing. He's got some good products for that snack stuff. He's got this snack of sports nutrition for advanced conditioning or something like that. But he's got some good stuff there. I took a couple of those products for, I guess, about a year, year and a half, and I saw great, great results. So I'm not training that hard anymore, so I don't need Victor's products. But you can check out Victor's products, I think, at snack.com. Let's go back to 168 pounds. Of course, the king of boxing, Mr. Saul Alvarez, got some good talent at 168, but he's beaten just about everybody there except one guy. I cattle plant, holds the IBF title. He's like 24-0. He comes to us out of, I think, Las Vegas or Nashville, something like that. Anyway, he couldn't lick a stamp if you wet his tongue as far as fighting the likes of Canelo Alvarez. So Canelo rolls over him. As far as the rest of the 168-pound division, and I'm really high on the 168-pound division because they've got guys like David Benavidez, undefeated now, 24 fights. Of course, comes to us from Arizona. The guy can rock. I mean, he looks like he's a future superstar. He speaks both English and Spanish. He's very fluent, but he's had some issues in the past with Colombian dust, so we wish him the very best on that. Hope he can keep his future clean. The guy that I really am high on it is David Morrell, and like I'm looking at the BoxRec ratings. They don't even have him in the top 14, the top 15. He is the WBA regular champion at 168 pounds. He's only 5-0 with 4 knockouts. Only 5-0. He's only had 5 fights. But check this out. I mean, I was looking at his fights. He went a 4-rounder, an 8-rounder, a 12-rounder, a 10-rounder, and a 10-rounder. Kid you not. This is the fights he scheduled when he turned pro 2 years ago. So in for 2 years, he went from 4 rounds to 12 rounds and winning the WBA interim title. So now he's a regular champion at 168 pounds. That opens the door for him maybe later on down the road with a fight with Canelo Alvarez. Now, Canelo, as I said, the aforementioned king of boxing. Who's he going to fight? Who the hell is he going to fight in November or September? Is he going to fight 2 times this year? I mean, they haven't announced the card for September yet, and I'm a little antsy on that because I want him to fight 2 more times. In fact, have Benavidez go out with the Benavidez fight in December or November, and who knows how that's going to turn out, because that's sort of like, you know, Benavidez is unbeaten. He's bigger than Canelo. He's got some good reach. He's got good size. He pops well. He's got an attitude. Of course, Canelo's still the king of boxing. He would be favored going in that, but there would be no walk in the park for Canelo Alvarez. No doubt about that. Guess who's up next? Primetime Eddie Croft. Of course, the former super bantamweight WBC regional champion. He can rock, no doubt about that. We'll talk with Eddie Croft. Of course, one of boxing's premier trainers and handicappers. No doubt about that. Next on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Go put your coat on, honey. This is getting good.
Let my boys harmonize here just for a second, please. This is the Mighty Tower of Power, circa 2008. Of course, the Oakland Zone LP. No doubt about that. One of their epic albums, but not a lot of people know about it because they think Tower of Power was done like 20 years ago. No, they're still rocking and rolling. In fact, they hit the R&B charts with one of their latest albums, The Soul Side of Town, at number 1. I kid you not. Tower of Power back at the top of the charts. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Speaking of WBC, the former WBC regional champion, 122 pounds, is in the house. We'll talk about Primetime Eddie Croft. The man runs B Street Boxing on there in San Mateo, California. I consider him one of boxing's premier trainers. I kid you not, pound for pound, he's one of the guys. Primetime, what's up? How's life treating you?
Pretty good, man. You know, really busy and good.
Okay, what's up with your 154-pound guy?
168 pounds.
Okay.
That guy?
Yeah, what's happening?
He's got to fight July 31st in Germany against Vladimir Shishkin, another Russian guy. But Vladimir Shishkin fights out of the Kronk gym, and Sugar Hill trains him. So, you know, we have our work cut out for us, and you know, we get to prove that we belong right now. So that's July 31st in Germany. I'm actually leaving next Saturday, and then today, actually, I got an amateur. He's in the semifinal at a national tournament in Lubbock, Texas. Steve Johnson, and he's fighting in the semifinal bout, 125 pounds, elite males. And, you know, I'm excited to watch that too.
You know, Primetime, that's good news because of the fact that amateur boxing, it's, you know, I mean, we, the gold medalists, think about this. 76, we had the Spinks brothers, Ray Leonard, Howard Davis, Leo Randolph, who's often the forgotten one there on that team, of course. And then 84, we had the Meldrick Taylor, Pernell Whitaker, Mark Breland, Tyrell Biggs. I can go on and on. But the bottom line is, we were winning lots of gold medals. And then, of course, we had 92 with Oscar De La Hoya, and then 96 with David Reed, and 2004 with Andre Ward. We're not striking gold the way we used to strike gold.
No. You know what? A lot of the other countries, they put a lot of money behind it. You know, there's a lot of money behind it. And you know, most of the money that is, comes from boxing is, you know, all like donor funded here, but you know, we have like a country that's 10 times as big as everyone else, so you know, we should be able to find that those resources somewhere.
You know, boxing's a hungry sport though, and you and I know that. I mean, we've had to turn away the dinner plate and this and that, and we didn't have the internet and all that kind of crazy stuff like guys have got now. The world's a little bit easier now, I think, for guys. They've taken it easier. They're not hungry. You don't see the hunger anymore. I mean, Mexican fighters, pound for pound, are the most dominant fighters, I think, in the world. Mexican fighters, Puerto Rican fighters. Now the Russian fighters are starting to make their move. I mean, Kovalev was the WBO light heavyweight champion for a long time. He made some statements, no doubt about that. And, of course, Kostya Zou, he was a 140-pound champion. There's all kinds of big names coming out of Russia now. Is there a Russian heavyweight on the horizon you can tip us off to?
I haven't seen any that, you know, I thought that was a legitimate threat to heavyweight title. I mean, there is a real big guy, like 280-pound guy, and I haven't seen him. But you know, he's like 8-0 or 8-knockout, something like that. But I haven't seen him. But I, you know what? There's, you know, some, all over Eastern Europe, there's good guys. So, I mean, eventually, you know, we'll see more guys kind of fighting in the top 10 and contender status. And then, you know, they fight for titles and don't win, then they kind of become gatekeepers. So, you know, we'll see more of those guys down the road. But, like, you know, the more opportunities you get, the more chances you're going to get, right? And Ukraine had two great heavyweights, you know, the Klitschko brothers. So, mm-hmm. I don't see why they won't have another one shortly.
Okay. The world is adapting to the COVID situation. How's B Street Boxing doing with the COVID thing? How do you handle that?
We're good. I mean, we're good. You know, I mean, like, when we first opened, everybody had to have masks, and you know, we were practicing social distancing. But you know, now that like San Mateo, you know, almost everybody's been vaccinated. So
I'm glad
everybody that comes.
I'm glad you brought that up. I hate to cut you off. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm leading you into something here, Eddie. Primetime Eddie Cross, yes, our guest, no doubt about that. He is primetime. Tyson Fury and his team, like they had like 8 guys test positive for COVID and then Tyson Fury tested positive for COVID. I mean, if you've got this type of event going down, there's all these millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars on the line. I mean, with people investing in TV, channels and venues and that kind of good stuff. And you're not responsible enough to get vaccinated. I mean, shouldn't you have to pay some type of price there? I mean, I think that he sabotaged this fight by not being responsible. And let me tell you, of all the people that died in the state of Maryland in the month of June, all of them were unvaccinated, Eddie.
Okay, well, one, I didn't know that he wasn't vaccinated. From what I heard Bob Arum say that he was. Now, you know, the members of this team, I don't know. And I also know that even though you have the vaccination, it doesn't, you know, totally, you know, save you from it. You could still get it, one. And two, they said that the symptoms won't be as bad.
Right.
If, you know, so, like, I don't know. Like, and this is, what, a second big fight in a short time that stopped, you know, that got upended by this, you know, Teofimo and Kambosos. And, you know, that's the whole thing with Teofimo. You see him out in Vegas hanging out, you know, for the other fights. And that was, that one, I think, was more egregious.
Well, I just can't, I don't, listen, you know, here's what's up, Eddie. When I grew up, we had the polio vaccine and we had the measles vaccine, okay? And we took the vaccines and there was no big live, there was no big controversy, this and that. And the vaccines has never, and the vaccines has never been wrong. I mean, there hasn't been hundreds of thousands of people or people have died from the vaccines or anything like that in the history of the United States. How can these people be so anti-science?
Well, you know, things have changed also, like the way we used to get them. It's just different. Right. So, you know, we used to get them, you know, one, we'd get one, then we go back to the doctor, we get another one. You know, we go back to the doctor, we get maybe two. Right. Now they, you know, they put them together in a big cocktail. Those vaccines, you know, in particular, you know, polio and measles and things of that nature. So, you know, they put them all together in, you know, one big cocktail, and it affects different people in different ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, some people are anti-vax. Like I get it. Do I, you know, do I believe that it's going to affect you? Well, you know what? If there's a chance that it might affect my child, then, you know, maybe I don't want to do that. Now, this vaccine, okay, is something different, right? Yeah, you've heard some people have negative effects to it, but not very many, and you've heard more people have negative effects to catching COVID. So, like, you know, there, you know, like, I wasn't going to take my chances in catching COVID, you know, especially, like, I'm, you know, on planes and traveling all over the world, man. I'm not messing around. Because that.
You know, Marvin Huerta, I don't know if you remember the Huerta brothers. I can't remember Marvin's brother, but they were from Newman's Gym. And they were in the Pete Alvarez, in Pete Alvarez's stable. Anyway, Marvin Huerta's father, everybody took the vaccine in the family. His father said, screw it, F it, or whatever. He wasn't going to take it, doesn't it? He passed away this past week. He doesn't have to be dead. If he would have took the vaccine, he'd still be alive. You know what kind of pain that's causing the family?
Right. And it's sad. But it is also not like making it any better by us ripping them new ones.
I'm not ripping them. I know.
Look, this is a serious situation. I believe, like you, that people should get the vaccination. Now, if they don't want to get the vaccine and they want to play Russian roulette like that, I'm not like running over with the needle and trying to jab it in their arm before they can get away from it, right?
Okay.
So that's on them, man. I get it. I understand, you know, their concern, but it's, you know, I'm getting I got the vaccine. I'm good.
Okay. I got about a minute left here. Eddie Cross, our guest. Well, Jermell Charlo, of the Jermell and Jermall, are they superstars, yes or no?
Not yet.
Okay.
They're definitely stars, and they're definitely exciting, and for me, I like to watch them fight, and I particularly, you know, I think their antics are pretty funny, even though they're not making sense half the time. But they're not superstars yet, though.
Okay. Let's talk B Street Boxing before the break. What's happening at B Street Boxing on there in San Mateo, California? What's going on?
You know, we're open full bore. We got classes 6 days a week. You know, check me out, bstreetboxing.com. Like I said, I'm going to be, you know, out for the rest of July, you know, out in Latvia and then Germany. And hopefully when I get back, you know, we'll have a guy getting ready to fight for a world title and a new national champion. So, I'll be happy about that.
Always a pleasure. Say hello to the family. I wish you the best. Stay healthy, Eddie, and safe travels, okay?
I don't pay for it.
The one, the only, folks, Primetime Eddie Croft on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check him out, bstreetboxing.com. That's bstreetboxing.com in San Mateo, California. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, often imitated but never duplicated. Lenny Williams to the break, going back to the 70s on this one.
But too many times I just yearn for the girl, whoever she may be. Look at me again and again and again. I see how full my life could be with the love of my special angel.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Get your feet back on the ground. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV, of course. 1989. I'm in pretty good shape. I get myself in shape to go down and see Ray Leonard because I know I'm going to train with him. I'm going to run with him, things like that. So, in other words, I got to get myself together. I mean, Sugar Ray Leonard. I'm going to train with Sugar Ray Leonard, okay? So, anyway, I got in real good shape before I left. You train before you go there. I mean, you don't show up there and expect to go running with these guys or train with these guys and be in decent shape, you know, if you're not, okay? You can't. You don't want to look bad in front of these guys. These guys are world champions. So, anyway, I got myself together. I think I ran about 2 months. I ran 2 months hard because I knew I was going to go down and spend some time with Sugar Ray in his training camp. He was training for a June 1989 fight with Thomas the Hitman Hearns. That was a rematch. Anyway, so Ray and I are training. We're running this and that, running day and, I mean, sometimes we ran twice a day. He would run twice, run in the morning and run again at night. Of course, at nighttime, a lot of it were sprints and things like that. I learned some stuff from him, but of course, I couldn't use it in my boxing career because at that point in time, I had retired a year earlier. Anyway, Ray Charles and I went unplugged in, I take that back, this was early May 1989, unplugged from West Palm Beach, Florida. Check it out. Unplugged Ray Leonard.
Ray, 19 years boxing now, Olympic gold medalist, 5 world titles. What more is there for you to attain?
Well, Pedro, for me, I just like to do what I want to do. You know, for me, boxing has been such an integral part of my life, opening doors, creating better avenues for me and other people. And as long as I still can do it, you know, I say, why not? I don't complain about getting up in the mornings to do road work. You've ran with me a number of times, and I enjoy the competition. This is a part of my life, and for as long as I can do it.
You're 33 years old, but because of your layoff and you were off for a couple of years, how old is Ray Leonard's body physically?
Well, you know, I never put an age on my body because I think once I do that, I limited myself to the duration of time I have left in the ring. I put no relevance to how old I am. I think it's just a matter of how I feel. I think it's a matter of what I exhibit in the ring and outside the ring. That pretty much equates my age.
The hunger is still there?
The hunger is always there. People fail to realize that I love to win. I love the challenge. I thrive on winning. I thrive on victory. And if that wasn't the case, I wouldn't be in here working out as hard as I do. I wouldn't be taking my body through rigorous workouts, training, road work, dealing with the media, the scrutiny of exploitation. I wouldn't deal with that.
If Little Ray or Bobo, you've got two boys now. Ray, Little Ray is not little anymore. He wears your clothes or you wear his?
Well, I wear his. Well, you know, to be honest with you, I don't wear his clothes anymore. I think he's a large. I'm still a medium.
Okay, what if Little Ray or Bobo wanted a box? Would you approve of that?
You know, that's a very interesting question. If he really wanted to, but I also would make him realize the comparison would be too much. You're talking about peer pressure for young people. That's an enormous amount of pressure because of the comparison to his old man. I wouldn't want to see that happen. And thank God, Little Ray has his own mind. He's more musically inclined. He loves athletics. He more so wants to play basketball and football.
What about Bobo? He's quite a character.
If anything, Bobo, Jarrell, I don't know. He's very precocious. I think he has the ambition and the talent to be a politician.
Ray, if either of them had a repair retina, had a damaged retina, had it repaired, how would you feel about letting them box again?
You know, Pedro, that is too hypothetical to even say because, you know, being a parent, naturally you fear the risk factor. But I think in order for my son to be happy, he has to do what he wants to do. If it's productive, you know, people say, well, Ray, it's inexplicable that you returned to the ring. You suffered an injury, a very serious injury. But I think we must appreciate medical technology, the advancement, arthroscopic surgery. You have a lot of people, a lot of athletes that suffer the same injury, football, baseball, soccer, every type of physical contact sport, but because of who I am, because of the individualism of my particular sport, I am pretty much singled out.
You told me before that you're an amateur ophthalmologist.
I think I am, because from personal experience, personal evaluation, I think being a spokesman, I think I've been able to understand the anatomy of retinal surgery.
In your own words, you've created your own destiny. You've through free agency. How did that start?
Well, I've watched great fighters in the past without naming them, and I've always said, you know, what happens afterwards? Because I've always hated the term "boy," although a lot of people don't mean it the way they say it. But I think it's the tone of voice that you use, or my fighter. And, you know, and my fighter is boxing terminology of saying, you know, I represent this young man. But sometimes I have problems saying, that's my fighter. You know, that's who I represent. And I never wanted to want to say, that's my fighter, because I'm no one fighter but my own.
Is Andrew Maynard your fighter?
Andrew Maynard is my client. He is my protege. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to stumble and say, my fighter. But I think it's what's from the heart that people are able to perceive what you really mean.
Okay, Maynard's an Olympic gold medalist. You've got another kid down here, a Canadian named Dan Sherry. He's looking pretty promising.
Well, Dan Sherry, you know, he's a young man that I also have high hopes. And there are people that say, well, these guys are just ordinary fighters. Well, with the exception of Andrew because of his Olympic exposure. But one thing about it, if anything, I prefer to have a young man that is self-motivated, that has self-discipline, that's productive, that's clean-cut, as opposed to having a guy that's world-beater. Because the guys that I have are very decent young men.
You've easily almost made $100 million in the ring. Where will it stop? You're taking it one fight at a time, am I right?
One fight at a time. You hit it right on the head. One fight at a time. People say, well, Ray don't know when he quit. His ego and his arrogance and this and that makes him continue. That's right. That's what makes me who I am. Because if you didn't have confidence in yourself, you can't make it in this world. Let it be business or athletics. You got to have some type of confidence.
Okay, let's talk about the rematch with the Hitman from Detroit, Thomas Hearns. We're about a week away now. How do you feel about this fight? This is the first time that you've fought in a guy again that you've already beaten.
I feel great. You know, I've been working on a variation of styles with variation of opponents and challengers. I hate calling them sparring partners sometimes, but the young men that I work with are fast, and I feel this way that they are so tenacious in so many rounds that if I can contend with them, I can contend with anybody. I'm looking forward to a big fight with Tommy Hearns. I am prepared for whatever he should do. I've worked on balance. I've worked on peripheral vision. I've worked on counterpunching. I've worked on strong punches, body shots. You know, the other day, all body shots. One day, I worked on defense, offense. I'm ready for whatever he should do.
Okay, I watched it the other day. In case, when Hearns gets hurt, he has a habit of grabbing. I mean, like Hulk Hogan, headlocks, hammer locks, the works. I watched you physically push your sparring partners off. I mean, physically, you were rough.
Well, that would be the case, too, because I've watched him with James Kitchen, and the way he grabbed Kitchen, if anything, you know, Tommy Hearns held on for dear life. It was ugly, but it was survival. But I'm ready for whatever he should do.
Okay, Tommy says that your shot, he says that you say that he's shot, he says that your shot. Is the biggest fight in the history of boxing a battle between two shot warriors?
I don't necessarily feel that I'm shot, and I don't particularly agree that Tommy's shot. I think Thomas had some problems in the past and in his previous performances, but total shot, no. He still wins. He's perseverance.
So how does Ray Leonard see the fight? June 12th, the bell's about to ring, Ray.
It depends on how Tommy approaches the fight. You know, speculations that he's going to try to outbox me, he can't do that. I don't care how much he rides a bicycle. As far as trying to knock me out with one punch, I've been hit by a light heavyweight, you know, so the punch is not a factor. If anything, if you had asked me this question 3.5 months ago and I wasn't training, then I have a problem. I don't have a problem with Tommy Hearns.
You told me to tell Tommy, I quoted you in Flash Magazine, is knocking me out is not a reality.
It's not a reality. You know, Tommy Hearns, he's living in this, this world that he's still the Hitman. He should get away from that nickname. That nickname doesn't fit anymore.
The last couple of fights, he's resembled the Hurt Man.
Well, he's been more so on the receiving end of the pitcher now. So if anything, I'm going there to win. I don't care what happens, I'm going there to win.
Okay, Ray, let's talk about who's your arch enemy, Roberto Duran. He's still around.
He's not my arch enemy. You know, he's not...
Ray, you haven't talked to Duran lately.
To be honest with you, I hate this. I can't say it on television. No, I don't mean... We have verbal confrontations, and we say things about each other. I think that's the nature of the sport. But there is no direct animosity towards Duran. I respect Duran from what he's achieved in boxing, because naturally he's contributed to the sport of boxing, and he's brought more attention. If anything, if we should meet, the best man is going to win.
Did he cheat you out of your just desserts when he quit on you in the eighth round?
I don't think he cheated me out of anything. I don't know why people feel that way. If anything, he cheated himself out of being claimed the greatest. Okay.
Duran, Leonard, Nunn, I mean, there's a chance you're going to fight all these guys. First of all, let's talk about Michael Nunn. We had that confrontation that Pedro instigated in Las Vegas when we were out there on the floor, and I said, you came off tonight. You were perceived on HBO as being fearful of Michael Nunn. Let's get the record straight. Are you scared of Michael Nunn?
When you asked me, Pedro, I was on the dance floor at Botany's. I was dancing. I didn't think about Michael Nunn. But if anything, I think Michael Nunn is really a great fighter and a great champ. He represents the championship very well. He's not a great fighter yet. That's too premature. Because just tell you how people feel. All of a sudden now, Michael Nunn was a guy that couldn't pack a punch, a guy that was a boring fighter. All of a sudden now, he knocks out Colin Bay. He the greatest thing since mom's apple pie. I mean, they should really stick to what they're saying. Before I became great, or if they consider me great, I had to beat Hearns, Duran, Hagler. I don't believe in greatness. There was only a few great fighters. There was Ollie, Sugar Ray Robinson, Joe Lewis, and Rocky Marciano.
Okay. Any closing comments?
I can't wait to June 12th.
Good enough, sir. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Pedro. You going to run tomorrow?
I'll be right. You going to run tomorrow morning?
Yeah, 5:30.
Sunday. I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe.
Okay. Sugar Ray Leonard.
You ever run with a cheetah? That's what you're running with when you run with Sugar Ray Leonard. I kid you not. I kept up with him like 2.5 miles. That last half mile, he was like, he was a blur. An absolute blur. And we have a van following us, right, to make sure we don't get run over in this and that. Well, the van left me because Ray was so far ahead of me, they had to cover Ray's butt, not my butt. Anyway, bottom line is, Ray is probably the greatest athlete I think I've ever seen in the history of boxing, my personal opinion. So I'm saying he's the greatest fighter of all time. He was the greatest welterweight of all time, I think. But, you know, Ray was an accomplished athlete, no doubt about it. In fact, some of the guys that you mentioned there, Dan Sherry was a former Canadian champion. He signed him out of the 84 Olympics. He was 22-6 as a pro, was stopped 4 times. And, of course, Andrew Mader, the gold medalist, was 26-13 as a pro, got stopped 9 times, didn't take a shot too well. But that's who Ray Leonard wasn't the greatest promoter in the world, as indicated by the fact that guys like Pee Wee Parker and Maynard and the aforementioned Dan Sherry didn't do too well as pros. No doubt about that. Ray's a great fighter, but not a great promoter. You are listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, we come to you every Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. Saturday and Sunday, but this is a Sunday show, 2-hour show. Of course, we split this up on Twitch.tv. You can watch us in the Sports Byline USA archives. It'll be happening pretty soon. A couple hours, it'll be up and rolling. There was the first hour's one segment on Twitch.tv. The second hour is another segment on Twitch.tv. So you got 2 different hours to look at on Twitch.tv. Probably beginning today, probably about 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, Eastern time tonight. We'll have it up and rolling. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Some more Tower to the Break. We're going to say, Lenny Williams, I love you. You know that.
Going through the day, sometimes lonely, trying to find myself a thrill. Little do I know, it might come to me, hanging out my windowsill.
We're talking Byline Sports, where sports happens.
Just another day has gone and left me in the same old road again. Slowly drifting, yes, I know my life is kind of strange.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Let's do it. Anybody who wants to fight, let's go.
This is something new from the Tower of Power. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Main event, Matt sends me a text on the twitch.tv Sports Byline USA chat channel and asks me who is to blame for Roberto not being in shape, the trainers or Roberto? Let me tell you, Roberto is like a horse. You can lead him to water, but you couldn't make him drink. You could bring him to the gym, but you couldn't make him train. Roberto trained when Roberto wanted to train. Of course, that was his downfall to an extent. But again, then again, he had like 120 fights, and he's still pretty lucid. I mean, he can still talk a good game, and he listens well, and he comprehends what he does. So the bottom line is, at the end of the day, the residual effects of professional boxing did not wear hard on Roberto Duran. 1 year ago, the entire world was moved deeply by the heroics of a six-year-old, a young man by the name of Bridger Walker, who risked his life to save his younger sister from a dog attack. Upon learning of Bridger's courageous action, the WBC, the World Boxing Council, not only sent him an iconic green belt and named him an honorary world champion, they named a new weight class after him. We at the WBC are so honored to name Bridger our honorary champion for his immense courage. Of course, now they got the bridgeweight championship. Of course, that's 204 pounds, most like a junior heavyweight. It's a long time in the making because, you know, heavyweights are 205 pounds now. Can't compete with heavyweights 250 pounds. You just can't do it. Can't give up 45 pounds. Size matters in two things: pornography and combat sports. Speaking of pornography, the UFC, I'm looking at the results at their upcoming fights, and you wonder why they're lacking superstars. They're still making $290 million because it isn't the fighters. It's the UFC. I'm looking at this Makarok versus Moises, Sandhaven versus TJ Dillashaw, Hall versus Strickland. I mean, these are not like epic names or anything like that. You're not going to go, hey, I want to see that one. I want to see that one. The bottom line is Dana's giving us quantity and not quality. But that's Dana White, the pimp that he is. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Checking out the upcoming boxing schedule. The 17th, Jermall Charlo and Brian Castano for the undisputed 154-pound title. July 24th, the Olympics, of course, from Tokyo, Japan. Are they going to happen? July 24th, pay-per-view, Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. Ain't going to happen. So wherever you do on the 24th, that fight's not going to be happening. July 31st, Conor Bunn and Adrian Gonzalez on the zone. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I thank you so much for tuning in. 37, make that 38 plus years now of being often imitated but never duplicated. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Thank you so much for listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Don't forget the WBC's website, WBCBoxing.com. Till next time, peace, love, and lots of respect.